I was getting letters from Taliban, and a couple times they showed up to our house. They were telling me that they're gonna kill me, or they're gonna kill a member of my family, or they're gonna kidnap my son.
Interpreters have become a very big target of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. There's been a lot of beheadings of people that have worked with the West. And if we completely pull out of Afghanistan and we don't bring these interpreters back, the ones that were promised an opportunity for a visa in the United States, they're gonna be killed.
U.S. immigration policy has been accused of being slow, complicated, and inefficient. But can it also be accused of abandoning foreign individuals who have put their lives on the line in service to America? That's exactly what's happening right now to many Afghan individuals who have served with the U.S. military as interpreters. They're often seen as the most crucial element in a military unit. Without interpreters, the military could not communicate easily with the local population. However, the job comes at a high price. They are labeled as traitors by the Taliban and live under constant fear for their lives.
If they find me, they will kill me. Like, my name was added to the Taliban kill list. They found my picture and everything. And they knew even where I'm living in Kabul.
Like thousands of other brave Afghan interpreters, Janis risked his life for his love of America and for his belief that America would follow through on its promise.
In order to recruit folks that were going to be very highly targeted by the enemy, translators, they're the bridge between the U.S. military and the local population. So in order to recruit them, we did so with the promise that, look, you do hard work for the United States of America. You put your life at risk, you'll have an opportunity to come to the United States, because we know doggone well that they're going to be targeted both during operations and after.
Congressman Kinzinger is an officer in the Air National Guard and a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. He has led the charge in Congress to amend and extend the Afghan Special Immigrant Visa Program, which was initiated in 2009 as an attempt to keep America's promise to its allies. The well-intentioned program allocates a limited number of visas a year to Afghan nationals seeking refuge as a result of their service to the United States government. However, the program has been largely inefficient. Bogged down by bureaucracy, the program can take years to process an application. In the meantime, many interpreters have been killed while waiting.
I thought it will take a couple months, but it took me 2 years.
This is sometimes the result of big government.
From 2009 to 2013, 7,500 Afghan visas were authorized by Congress through this program. But only around 2,000 were actually issued by the State Department. The State Department has responded to criticism by ramping up efforts to improve the processing time. So far, 2014 has seen a tremendous increase in the number of visas issued. Approximately 2,300 Afghans who worked for the U.S. received a visa out of 3,000 allocated. However, this program is set to expire this fall, with around 6,000 more applicants left in the backlog. Kinzinger and the State Department are trying to get Congress to extend their program for another year and to raise the annual visa limit so that more Afghans will have a chance to seek shelter in the United States.
I think a lot of the rejection and a lot of the lack of processing comes from very strict requirements, and plus the fact that this is a bureaucratic government. I mean, when you deal with big bureaucracies, sometimes people are more concerned with not wanting to make a mistake than they are with sometimes maybe clicking yes to bring somebody over here. So while we do need to have good background checks and we have to be cautious about this, it's been way too slow at this point, and a lot of translators have given their lives in the wait.
Janis was able to escape that fate, and he moved to Virginia in October with his wife and two children, largely due to the efforts of Army Captain Matt Zeller. During his time as an interpreter, Janis was credited with saving the lives of 5 American service members, and Zeller was one of them.
The rounds had been getting closer. Their artillery had been getting closer and closer with every salvo, and so I knew the next one was probably land on top of me. I just thought, okay, well, this is it. I die here now. I looked at my watch, it was 4:50 in the afternoon. I was like, I die around 4:50 in the afternoon on April 28th, 2008. And I didn't ever get to say goodbye to my mom or anybody or have kids. And I kind of was starting to make my peace. The next thing I remember is I remember turning to return fire at this guy. And I felt this body land next to me. And then I turn and I see Janis. And I look at him like, who the hell are you? And he goes, I'm Janis, I'm one of your translators. And then I look just past him and I see the two guys drop dead. And I realize he's just shot and killed these two guys. And they were directly behind me. Janis literally had my back.
In 2008, Zeller and the rest of his unit returned to the United States, while Janis stayed behind and continued his work as an interpreter in Afghanistan.
It was the hardest goodbye I've ever had in my life. They're soldiers just like us. I felt like I was leaving a member of my unit behind.
Zeller promised Janis that he would bring him to safety in the United States. He eventually succeeded after 5 long years of pressuring the State Department. Now the two friends are focused on bringing other interpreters to America.
When we talk about who we want in the United States of America, people that were willing to really stand up and fight for freedom are the kind of people that we want here anyway.